Chapter 1. The American People. Why It Matters. Our Declaration of Independence proclaims that all men are created equal. This does not mean that everyone is born with the same wealth, intelligence, strength, or ambition. Each one of us has a unique combination of qualities and characteristics. The words of the Declaration mean that all people should have equal rights, which is the cornerstone of the democratic ideal. Big Ideas. Section 1. The Diversity of Americans. As American citizens, we make a commitment to the nation and to the values and principles that are part of the United States democracy. In addition to the common values and civic unity, the United States benefits from its rich diversity. Section 2. Who are America's citizens? Citizens possess certain rights. With citizenship, there are also certain responsibilities expected of all Americans. In the United States, there are two ways to become a citizen, by birth and by a process called naturalization. Section 3. Government and the People. People form governments to establish order, provide security, and accomplish common goals. Democratic governments perform necessary functions so citizens can live together peacefully. Section 1. The Diversity of Americans. Real-world civics. Does your vote count? Enthusiastic young people like those pictured volunteered for the America Votes National Day of Action. Both political parties work to register as many citizens as possible to vote, especially minorities and immigrants who might not feel that their voice matters. Why? When you do not vote, you let others speak for you. What is civics? Main idea. Civics is the study of the rights and duties of citizens. Civics and you. As an American citizen, did you know you have certain rights as well as responsibilities? Read to find out what it means to be a citizen of a country. When Americans vote or serve on a jury, their actions are based on ideas that people had in the 4th century BC. In examining how people act, Greek philosopher Aristotle wrote, "If liberty and equality, as is thought by some, are chiefly to be found in democracy, they will be best attained when all persons alike share in the government to the utmost." Aristotle, Politics. Ancient Roots. Civics is the study of the rights and duties of citizens. The concept of citizenship dates back more than 2,500 years to ancient Greece and Rome. In those days, only a few people could be citizens. Only men with property possessed the right to vote and to take part in government. Today, gender and wealth are no longer requirements for citizenship. Indeed, most people are citizens of the country in which they live. Citizens have certain rights and duties. They are community members who owe loyalty to the government and are entitled to protection from it. However, being a citizen means much more than just living in a country. American citizens who live abroad are still citizens of the United States. Citizens are a part of a country. They may share a common history, common customs, or common beliefs. They agree to follow a set of rules and to accept the government's authority. Reading check. Explaining. As a citizen, what do you agree to do? A changing society. Main idea. American society has undergone many changes in the past, and these changes continue today. Civics and you. What would make you want to move to a new place? Read on to find out why people immigrated to the Americas. On the back of every American coin, you will find the Latin words e pluribus unum, meaning out of many, one. This phrase reminds us that the many diverse or different citizens of the United States have joined together to make a single, strong nation. For all our differences, we are linked by shared values and experiences. More than 300 million people live in the United States today. All of us are descendants from families that immigrated at one time or another. Most scholars believe that even the first Native Americans arrived here thousands of years ago by crossing over a land bridge that once connected Asia and North America. A nation of immigrants. Until the mid-1900s, most immigrants came from Europe. The first Europeans to settle permanently in North America arrived from Spain during the 1500s. They lived in what is now Florida, California, and the Southwest. By the time the United States won its independence from England, the Spanish had founded Tucson, Albuquerque, San Antonio, and San Diego. Early immigration. Beginning in the 1600s, people from France and England came to North America. The French settled primarily in Canada, but they also clustered around the Mississippi River. English immigrants settled mainly along the east coast of North America, creating the 13 colonies that became the United States. During the late 1600s and the 1700s, immigrants from Germany, the Netherlands, Ireland, Scotland, and Sweden joined these English settlers. After independence. After the United States gained its independence, it became known throughout Europe as a land of promise. The number of immigrants grew from 600,000 in the 1830s to more than 2 million by the 1850s. Between 1860 and 1890, more than 10 million Europeans, many of them from Denmark, Norway, and Sweden, streamed into this country. A shift in immigration. Another flood of immigrants, about 22 million, reached our shores between 1890 and 1924. Most of them came from southern and eastern Europe, from countries such as Italy, Greece, Poland, and Russia. During the past 50 years, immigration from Europe to the United States has lagged far behind immigration from the rest of the world. Latin America now accounts for the largest share of foreign newcomers, followed by Asia. Enslaved Africans. Among the early immigrants to America were some who did not come willingly. Western and Central Africans were taken by force from their homes, shipped across the Atlantic Ocean, and sold as slaves in the Caribbean islands and North and South America. Between 1619 and 1808, before it became illegal to bring enslaved persons into the United States, some 500,000 people were brought to this country in this way. Most African Americans today are descendants of enslaved persons. Others are immigrants from various countries in Africa and the Caribbean region. A diverse population. The American population is extraordinarily diverse in terms of ethnic or racial backgrounds. Many Americans today do not identify themselves as members of a single ethnic group. However, whites of European descent number more than 234 million. There are about 37 million African Americans, over 12 million Asians and Pacific Islanders, and almost 2.8 million Native Americans. More than 39 million people are Latinos, people of any race who trace their ancestry to the Spanish-speaking countries of the Western Hemisphere. Religious diversity. Our ethnic diversity is matched by religious diversity. More than 200 million people practice some form of Christianity. Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, and many other religious groups are also free to worship according to their conscience. Those who do not practice any religion are equally at home here. Many traditions. As people with different beliefs and backgrounds have made lives for themselves in the United States, many of their old country traditions have become part of the American culture. The American culture is a rich blend of varied influences. Transforming America. Between 1830 and 1930, the nation's population grew from about 12 million people to about 120 million people. About 40 million of these new Americans were immigrants. Over the years, the American population has changed in many ways. In the mid-1800s, for example, people began moving from rural areas to cities. The higher wages paid in the cities attracted workers. Many of those moving to the cities found work in newly opened factories. These workers became known as blue-collar workers. Others found jobs in offices, schools, stores, and other non-factory settings, and were called white-collar workers. By 1920, more than half of all Americans lived in towns or cities. Another significant change was the shift to service industry jobs. In the past few decades, manufacturing has lost ground to what we call the service economy. Many Americans now earn a living by providing services, practicing law or medicine, programming computers, teaching, and so forth. There are also more women and at-home workers in the labor force than ever before. The places where we live are changing, too. For example, shortly after the Civil War, African Americans, freed from slavery, headed for northern cities, seeking jobs and a new way of life. The result was a migration or mass movement of African Americans from the South to the North. For much of our history, the Northeast was the most populous part of the country. Today, the South claims that distinction, and the population there and in the West is growing faster than in any other regions. The population is changing in other ways, including the following. The average age of citizens is climbing upward as people live longer and have fewer children. Record numbers of Americans are now earning college and graduate degrees. Latinos, commonly referred to as Hispanic Americans, are the fastest growing ethnic group. Indeed, if current patterns continue, Latinos and other minority groups taken as a whole will soon be in the majority. Reading check. Summarizing. In what ways is the American population changing? American values and institutions. Main idea. Americans share key values, and these values are reflected in the important institutions of American life. Civics and you. What do you think makes a person an American? Read to find out about the values we share and how they have shaped the character of the American people. Even though American society is more diverse than ever, certain shared ideas help unite Americans of different backgrounds. Two of these important ideas are our values and our institutions. What are values? Do you agree with most of your classmates on what is good and what is bad? The general principles or beliefs you use to make these judgments are your values. Values are broad ideas about what is good or desirable, and are shared by people in a society. Values are important because they influence the way we act. Basic American values. Everyone's list of basic American values will include different ideas. However, some values would appear on almost every list. These include freedom, equality, opportunity, justice, democracy, unity, respect, and tolerance. Some of these values, such as equality and opportunity, and respect and tolerance, are linked. Can you think of other values to include on this list? Shared values unite Americans. Another important effect of having a set of shared values is the unity it builds among Americans. For example, one very important source of American unity is a common civic and political heritage based on the country's founding documents. These key documents include the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution of 1787, and the Bill of Rights of 1791. American ideals of individual rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are in these founding documents. So are such values as popular sovereignty, government by consent of the governed, through fair, free, and regular elections, equal justice under the law, majority rule through the people's representatives in government. A second significant source of unity is a single language, English, which generally is accepted as the primary means of communication in education, government, and business. Americans are free to speak any language. However, some people think that the United States is strengthened by the common and public use of one language, which can be used by diverse groups of Americans to communicate freely with one another. Can you think of other values that have helped unite Americans throughout history? American institutions. Each society has its own social institutions. These are not buildings or places, but sets of ideas that people have about relationships, obligations, roles, and functions. As in every society, the most important institution in American life is the family. The family is the core of social life. It produces new generations, socializes the young, offers care and affection, and provides economic support. Parents and caregivers are also transmitters of values, both personal and national, to their children. Other important institutions in American life which also reflect our nation's shared values are religious, educational, and social. Religious institutions such as churches, temples, and mosques can promote social unity and provide a sense of meaning and belonging. Educational institutions at all levels reflect our society's culture, history, and learning, create a common identity, and promote personal growth and development. Social institutions such as clubs and volunteer service organizations can be another way we share our common values. The different parts of our government are also institutions. Governmental institutions were created and have developed over time based on important shared American values. As Abraham Lincoln explained in his first inaugural address in 1861, "This country, with its institutions, belongs to the people who inhabit it. Whenever they shall grow weary of the existing government, they can exercise their constitutional right of amending it, or their revolutionary right to dismember or overthrow it." Abraham Lincoln, First Inaugural Address. With these words, Lincoln underscored the most important concept of American government. The people, not the government, are in control. Reading check. Identifying. What are some types of important American institutions? Section 2. Who are America's citizens? Real-world civics. What does your U.S. citizenship mean to you? The aircraft carrier USS Midway set the scene for Navy sailor Hugston Brooks, from Liberia and 80 other Marine and Navy service members from 25 countries to become U.S. citizens on Veterans Day in 2004. The San Diego ceremony was held during a military celebration of Veterans Day. For many people around the world, becoming a U.S. citizen is a lifelong dream. With nearly 12,500 non-citizen active-duty sailors, the Navy now provides a streamlined route to naturalized citizenship for many recruits. Path to citizenship. Main idea. In the United States, there are two ways to become a citizen, by birth and by a process called naturalization. Civics and you. What should people who want to become U.S. citizens know about our country? Read to find out about the process of becoming a citizen. You learn that citizens are community members who owe loyalty to the government and are entitled to protection from it. Every country has rules about how people gain citizenship. The U.S. Constitution establishes two ways to become a citizen, by birth and for foreign-born people who choose to become citizens, by a legal process called naturalization. Citizenship by birth. If you were born in any of the 50 states or the District of Columbia, you automatically became an American citizen at birth. The same is true if you were born outside the country but in American territory, such as Puerto Rico or Guam, or on a U.S. military base overseas. Even if you were born elsewhere, you could still claim American citizenship if your parents are both citizens or if one is a citizen who has lived in the United States. Children born on American soil to non-U.S. citizens also acquire U.S. citizenship at birth. Americans may hold dual citizenship. This means that they enjoy rights in the United States and in another country. For example, a child born abroad to American parents may be both a U.S. citizen and a citizen of the country of his or her birth. The naturalization process. Several million non-citizens or aliens live in the United States. Some come to study, to work, or to visit relatives. They remain citizens of their own countries and eventually return home. Other aliens plan to settle here and become naturalized citizens. More than 500,000 immigrants, people who move permanently to a new country, gain American citizenship each year. Beginning the process. Aliens who want to become United States citizens must first sign a statement saying just that. This declaration of intention is then filed with the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, USCIS, an agency of the national government. For most aliens, the next step comes after living in the United States at least 5 years. Aliens who are married to citizens wait only 3 years. During this time, many immigrants take special classes to prepare for citizenship. Then, if they are at least 18 years old and have lived for at least 3 months in the state where they seek naturalization, they may file an application for citizenship. Interview and examination. After the paperwork is checked, the alien has an interview with a USCIS official. Agency officials want to be sure the alien meets the necessary requirements and is of good moral character. The applicant must also take a citizenship exam that consists of questions about reading, writing, and speaking English, and basic facts about the history and government of the United States. Afterward, the USCIS makes its decision. Oath of Allegiance. If the application is granted, the final step in naturalization is attending a ceremony and pledging an oath of allegiance. The alien swears to be loyal to this country above all others, to obey the Constitution and other laws, and to perform military or other duties if needed. Then the person signs a document and is declared a citizen of the United States. If he or she has children under 18, they automatically become naturalized citizens too. Native Americans. For a long time, most Native Americans were excluded from citizenship. A few groups became citizens through treaties with the federal government. Later, Congress offered citizenship to individual Native Americans who gave up their traditional culture. Not until 1924 did Congress make all Native American citizens of the United States. A lifelong privilege. Whether they are naturalized or native-born, most Americans keep their citizenship forever. Only the federal government can both grant citizenship and take it away. State governments can deny or refuse a convicted criminal some of the privileges of citizenship, such as voting. They do not have the power to deny citizenship itself. The government may strip naturalized citizens of citizenship if it was improperly obtained or gained. Citizens can lose citizenship in three ways: through denaturalization, through expatriation, or by being convicted of certain crimes. Native-born U.S. citizens can lose citizenship only through their own actions and cannot be denaturalized. Denaturalization. The loss of citizenship through fraud or deception during the naturalization process is called denaturalization. For example, former Nazis who engaged in war crimes during World War II and later lied about their wartime activities were denaturalized after they entered the United States or when they applied for citizenship. Expatriation. The simplest way to lose citizenship is through expatriation, or giving up one's citizenship by leaving one's native country to live in a foreign country. Expatriation may be voluntary or involuntary. For example, a person who becomes a naturalized citizen of another country automatically loses his or her American citizenship. Involuntary expatriation would occur in the case of a child whose parents become citizens of another country. Punishment for a crime. A person may lose citizenship when convicted of certain federal crimes that involve extreme disloyalty. These crimes include treason, participation in a rebellion, and attempts to overthrow the government through violent means. Reading check. Summarizing. Describe the two methods of obtaining U.S. citizenship. Aliens in America. Main idea. Even though the United States controls the admission of aliens to this country, each year millions of people enter America illegally. Civics and you. Why do you think so many people want to come to the United States? Read to find out why our country is such a magnet to people around the world. The United States restricts the number of immigrants who can enter the country. Millions apply, but only about 675,000 are accepted each year. Traditionally, the relatives of U.S. citizens and people with needed job skills receive the highest priority or first consideration. Family members still get special consideration, but because of the Immigration Act of 1990, emphasis has shifted toward welcoming those who want to work and produce and contribute, as one member of Congress put it. The new policy benefits people with particular skills, talents, or the money to invest in our economy. Illegal aliens. Despite immigration limits, approximately 12 million aliens are living in the United States illegally. Some were refused permission to immigrate, others never applied for permission because they feared a long, slow process or being turned down. Illegal aliens come to the United States in a variety of ways. A few enter the country as temporary visitors but never leave. Others risk arrest by illegally crossing our borders with Mexico and Canada. Other illegal aliens are foreigners who have stayed in the United States after their legal permits expired. Whatever the method, the reason is usually the same. I came for work and for a better life, explained one Mexican immigrant. Yet illegal aliens often have a difficult time in the United States. Many have no friends or family here, no place to live, and no sure way to earn money. Many have no friends or family here, no place to live, and no sure way to earn money. It is against the law to hire illegal aliens, and those who do find work usually receive little pay and no benefits. Every day they live with the fear that government officials will discover and deport them, send them back to their own countries. The United States Border Patrol is the law enforcement unit of the USCIS. Its primary responsibility is to detect and prevent the illegal entry of aliens into the United States. The Border Patrol guards the 6,000 miles of Mexican and Canadian international land borders and 2,000 miles of coastal water surrounding the Florida Peninsula and the island of Puerto Rico. Legal aliens. United States law classifies aliens into different categories. A resident alien is a person from a foreign country who has established permanent residence in the United States. Resident aliens may stay in the United States as long as they wish without becoming American citizens. A non-resident alien is a person from a foreign country who expects to stay in the United States for a short specified period. A Turkish journalist who has come to report on a presidential election is an example of a non-resident alien. Refugees are another category. Refugees are people fleeing their country to escape persecution. Aliens who have entered the United States legally lead lives much like those of American citizens. Aliens may hold jobs, own property, attend public schools, and receive other government services. They pay taxes and are entitled to legal protection. Aliens do not have full political rights, however. They may not vote in elections or run for office. They may not serve on juries or work in most government jobs. In addition, unlike U.S. citizens, Aliens must carry identification cards at all times. Reading check. Contrasting. How do the rights of legal aliens differ from those of U.S. citizens? Section 3. Government and the People. Real-world civics. Curious teens scramble over rocks as they near the spectacular fiery furnace in Arches National Park and are careful to leave the park the way they found it. This park is one of nearly 400 national parks in 49 states to which lawmakers are considering cutting services. About 118 million people visit these precious gems for fun, recreation, inspiration, and renewal. However, rising costs from maintenance and staffing, which is provided by the national government, may cause some national parks to reduce tours and public access, cut back on hours, and in some cases, close parkland. The need for government. Main idea. The different levels of government provide many different services. Civics and you. When was the last time a government provided you with a service? Read to find out how local, state, and national governments serve the public. A government is the ruling authority for a community or society. Any organization that has the power to make and enforce or carry out laws and decisions for its members acts as a government. For hundreds of years, people have formed governments. The earliest Native Americans had tribal councils. Thomas Hobbes, an English political thinker during the 1600s, believed that without government, life would be solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. If each of us could do just as he or she pleased, fighting probably would be common, and survival would depend on strength and skill. Think about trying to play basketball with no rules or referees. The game would probably be a chaotic free-for-all. Similarly, if there were no government to make and enforce laws, we would live in a state of confusion, violence, and fear. Government can make it possible for people to live together peacefully and productively. What governments do. The most important purpose of a government is to provide laws or rules of conduct. These laws help prevent conflicts between individuals, groups, or nations, and help settle any conflicts that do occur. Keep order. Conflicts are unavoidable when people live together in a community. Governments make laws to help prevent conflicts and to settle those conflicts that do arise. Governments have the power to enforce the laws. For example, to make sure that drivers obey traffic regulations, police officers are empowered to ticket or arrest violators. Courts decide whether those accused of crimes are guilty and how they should be punished if found guilty. Provide security. Along with the need for law and order come concerns about community security, defending citizens and their land from enemies. For this reason, governments set up armed forces and agencies that watch for likely sources of trouble. Provide public services. Governments provide many services that would not be available otherwise. Governments create and manage libraries, schools, hospitals, parks, and recreation centers. Government workers build and repair streets, erect bridges, collect garbage, and deliver the mail. Many government services are aimed at keeping the public healthy and safe. Local communities set up fire departments and ambulance services. States license drivers and doctors. Other government agencies protect us from dangerous medicines and spoiled food. Government inspectors check for safety problems in everything from factories to amusement park rides. Governments also give help to needy people. For example, in each of the 50 states, poor families and people who are out of work can receive food, aid, or cash. Government agencies also supply affordable housing, health care, job training, and special programs for people with disabilities. Guide the community. Another function of government is to formulate public policy or a course of government action to achieve community goals. When government leaders decide they want to protect consumers, for example, or strengthen national security, they are setting public policy goals. When they pass laws or develop guidelines to reach these goals, they are making public policy. Most public policy decisions involve financial planning. Governments have limited amounts of money and they must use it wisely. Creating a budget or a plan for collecting and spending money is key to the success of the community. Another part of guiding the community is developing relations with the community's neighbors and other outsiders. Governments often take responsibility for communicating and cooperating with other governments on matters of trade, travel, and military agreements for the benefit of their citizens. Levels of government. Many levels of government exist, each representing a particular collection of people. Each of the 50 states has its own government. So do most counties, cities, and towns. The students in your school may have their own student government. National government. Although each of the above is a government, when most people talk about the government, they are talking about the national government, the government of an entire country. In the United States, the national government is made up of three branches of government. These branches are the legislative, the executive, and the judicial branches. A national government is different from other levels of government in two important ways. First, a national government has the highest level of authority over its citizens. A city or state government cannot make any laws that would go against the laws of the national government. The national government, however, has the power to make whatever laws it feels would benefit the country. Second, a national government provides the basic framework for citizenship. State and local government. The national government makes and enforces laws for the entire country. Each state decides matters for the people in that state. The level of government closest to Americans is local government. Local governments include counties, cities, and towns. Your school may have a student government, and if you choose to belong to a club like Girl Scouts or 4-H, you respect that organization's governing body too. However, state and local governments, as well as governments of organizations, cannot take actions that go against the laws and authority of the national government. Reading check. Describing. How do governments keep order and provide security? Types of government. Main idea. The people are the ultimate rulers of democratic countries, while in totalitarian states, a single person or small group holds all the power. Civics and you. Did you know there is more than one type of democracy? Read to find out about other kinds of democracies. Democratic government. The foundations of democracy are more than 2,500 years old. Democracy began in the ancient Greek city of Athens. Athens had a direct democracy. All the citizens met to debate government matters and vote firsthand. Direct democracy is not practical for most countries today because of their large areas and populations. What is a republic? Many countries have a representative democracy instead. The citizens choose a smaller group to represent them, make laws, and govern on their behalf. For most Americans today, the term representative democracy, republic, and constitutional republic mean the same thing: a system of limited government in which the people are the ultimate source of governmental power. The United States is the oldest representative democracy in the world. Constitutional monarchy. Another kind of democracy is the constitutional monarchy. The word monarchy describes a government with a hereditary ruler, a king, queen, or other royal figure, who inherits this position of power. In most countries with monarchs, the power of the hereditary ruler is limited by the country's constitution and laws. Modern constitutional monarchies generally follow democratic practices. The monarchs are heads of state only, presiding at ceremonies and serving as symbols of unity. The Queen of Great Britain and the Emperor of Japan are two examples of constitutional